Hello.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Well, what is your estimate now as to the front runner, Hubert?
Well, no, I don't...
One, two, huh?
Well, he's squeaking it out in Ohio. I don't know that he's won it yet. And,
oh, really? I thought it was 41 to 39.
It is 41 to 39.
They haven't, they aren't all in there yet, huh?
They're not all in, Mr. President, and I guess they've only got, 61 or 2% in. And they're only, that 41-39%, that's a separation of 15,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to which, they're coming in from very peculiar places. I had a report this morning that some of the precincts and wards in Cleveland that Humphrey was supposed to have done very well in, he lost. Actually, McGovern picked them up.
Hmm.
And picked some up in Akron and other places.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the primary, like so many Democratic primaries, is you, because the Democrats in Ohio are just mad as hornets over the way it was handled.
Are they?
Oh, God. I mean,
I have been so busy, and I will continue to be for the next 3 weeks, that I haven't followed it. But
you have to be. Well,
what is a...
Well, they delivered machines to places where they didn't have equipment for machines. They had the most goddamn complicated ballot, three separate ballots.
In other words, it was done for the purpose of screwing the voters. Huh?
Well, that's what the feeling is. Now, but the beauty of it is that the McGovern people are mad at the Humphrey people, and the Humphrey people mad at McGovern. And when you come out of that with 15,000, let's say that's doubled when all the votes are in, even 30,000, separating Humphrey and McGovern, there isn't any winner because that... You know, Humphrey should have taken that state a hell of a lot bigger than that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the same thing in Indiana.
How about Indiana?
Well,
I think Wallace is just doing fantastic.
Oh,
well,
he's doing...
Excuse me just a minute. Yeah.
Frankly, he's doing too damn well. I
mean, it's going to encourage him to stay in.
Well, I don't know. He's in New Jersey, supposedly without his approval. His supporters got him on the, or got a place for him on the ballot if he decides to run.
I'm not so worried about places like that, but boy, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, those are the ones that are tough.
Well, that's right. You can get into a hell of an argument as to whether he helps us or hurts us in various states.
Well, in the South, he hurts us.
No question, in the South, he hurts us. But I'm not so worried about there because I think we're in such good shape down there.
We'll
stay in good shape there. But really, Humphrey didn't look all that impressive in Indiana. Hell, that's a 20,000 vote margin. You know, they press play it up as a big victory in their over Wallace, but 20,000 votes is nothing for...
Putting it another way, for Wallace to get over 40% of the vote in any northern state is almost unbelievable.
Well, especially, Mr. President, when running against nobody, I guess in 64, was it? Mm-hmm. 64, they had...
Yeah.
Yeah, no one. He got 30%. So 42% against you, but Humphrey's a hell of a showing. I don't think Humphrey is looking that strong, and he's the... He's just kind of the choice by default.
What is the situation now in Muskie? You think he's going to keep his momentum?
No, sir.
I'm sorry, McGovern. Muskie's had it. No.
Muskie's all through. Muskie's only hope is a completely deadlocked convention.
That's not going to happen.
And nobody wants the nomination, and then he might get it. But,
No.
No, I think McGovern's going like gangbusters. He did a better job in Ohio than his own polls showed that he would do. His own polls last week showed him 10 points behind. He closed that gap with a superb organizational effort. He appears next week to have Nebraska well under control. And he looks good in both Oregon.
Oh, does he think he'll get Nebraska?
Yes, sir.
Well, that can have some effect. You know, that's one of those winners. I mean, it's a where they have everybody in.
That's right. And he
how about Oregon?
Oregon, the betting is that he's going to win that one. And California, he's, according to, I talked to the people out there last night, as a matter of fact, he's edging up. He's not ahead of Humphrey in the local polls, but he's very close to him, and
he can win that.
He can win it. All he has to be is within 5 or 10 points on a poll, and he wins it because he turns out his vote.
That's always the case in a primary, you know.
That
doesn't
right.
make a hell of a lot of difference in a general presidential, because everybody virtually votes anybody.
That's right.
You know, but boy, in a primary, if you got the workers and so forth.
Okay. But when you ask about Ohio...
Just a second.
About a... You'd be out for 6 weeks, huh? You don't worry about it. You don't worry about it. Yeah, they say they got pretty nurses and things. I will, they're going to bring a document over to me here and put it to speech. And just keep it out there and grab the handle and call me about a quarter to two.
Yeah, sorry. When you ask about Ohio, Mr. President,
yeah.
it's very clear to me that the only person to come out of Ohio looking strong at the moment is you, because first of all they've cut each other apart in the state. Gilligan has turned in a very dismal performance as far as the Democrats are concerned. I talked to Buzz Lukens yesterday, who, although he's off on the right fringes, as you know, he's a pretty damn good politician, and he said you fellows are in such good shape out here. He pointed out to me a Cleveland Plain Dealer survey, which extensive statewide, which said that they found no defections from the 68 Nixon performance, and in fact found a lot of switchovers to Nixon, and gave a survey that the conclusion of which was that if the election were held today, of course that always could change, but if the election were held today, we would carry Ohio handsomely. Plus, we're going to have a lot of Teamster help out there, and they're big in that state. So I just think I couldn't be happier with the outcome. I might like to see McGovern edged out Hubert, but to come within a few thousand votes of each other doesn't prove a damn thing. And to be fighting as hard as they're now fighting, and boy, they are. You know, the blood is going to start to flow.
Well, they're going to know. The Democrats are going to be frantic to cut up McGovern because they cannot have a man that radical. I mean, my God, redistribute wealth, pot.
That's right.
Everything.
Amnesty. Lukens told me that the amnesty thing in Ohio was just absolutely devastating to McGovern. He used that everywhere. Buzz uses it every place he goes around to speak, but he said that really just gets people absolutely fired up. That's an emotional issue that just really goes right to the gut. But there's a funny thing happening around the country. I'm not sure I quite understand it. And the war issue has, in my opinion, has helped us. And I can't quite put my finger on why.
Even though it isn't going very well.
Yeah, even though the combat reports are, I mean, this weekend the media really started to cream us. And
well, they were justified. I mean, it isn't as bad as they say, but you know, and it is. And incidentally, it's exactly what I predicted. You
yes,
remember
it
that?
Is. I sure.
I have said over and over. I said we're going to have some losses, and they're having a massive offensive. I told the leader that this morning. So you're going to have some more. They're going to go for three or four more weeks.
Yeah, they came out this morning and said just that, and they did it very well, Ford and Griffin, saying that this is what was predicted. What the hell? 43 provincial capitals. And no one has ever thought this would be easy. It was
right. You're going to lose some.
Sure. South Vietnamese did better in the first month than was expected. But there's a funny thing happening around the country, and it's Bradshaw called me this morning, and he said that Daley, who had spoken last week, was with him this morning and mentioned the fact that he'd received a letter from you thanking him. And he went out on the podium and talking about transportation and railroads and devoted half his speech to you on what leadership you had given in this transportation field and how strong a president. He said it was an extraordinary set of remarks to a large group. And
very interesting.
It is interesting, because I think what you're finding, Mr. President, is that the old Democratic establishment, they really don't get very excited over Humphrey. I mean, they'll live with him and they'll support him, but he's not going to turn them on. And I think they're beginning to get scared of McGovern. I think there's just a feeling of that setting in. I think it goes beyond that. I think there's a feeling right now in the country that is sympathetic to you because of the Vietnam thing.
You have to realize one thing, of course. Vietnam is unpredictable. We think that we can hang on, but we'll see.
Well,
the other thing we have to bear in mind is that the Soviet summit is in the balance.
That's right.
And frankly, there's no under. You can be damn sure I'm not going to go to Moscow.
No.
And I think you would agree if I went to Moscow while Soviet tanks were rolling around in Hue.
Awful.
I'll never do it.
No, I
and I think on that point, Well, the most most people would say, isn't it terrible that we had to have that the summit had to get canceled? It'll hurt us because they'll say, what happened to the generation of peace? But on the other hand, we simply can't take this from these people.
Well, but you see, Mr. President, Haldeman asked me my opinion on this yesterday, and I said flatly I would not go under any circumstances. I mean, I'd postpone it indefinitely and try to go later. I'd upstage him in July if you could, but and if circumstances weren't. But I think your position is wrong because what is coming through to people, and this is what has been evident in the poll data, is that they believe you and they think you're doing everything humanly possible, and you really are trying very hard, and the generation of peace, but not peace at any price, is getting a generation of peace is going to be ups and downs. It is hard work, sure, and I think the country would rally behind you. You know, the Democrats are incredibly silent on Vietnam right now. There hasn't been a murmur from any prominent Democrat since last week. When our boys went out on Thursday and mowed them down in the aisles, as they did in the Hill, and since that day, there hasn't been a word. I think they're really scared of being hurt either way, either that you pull it out and then they look bad, or that it falls apart and they're blamed for it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sure going to blame them for it.
Oh, hell, if there's no question about that.
But that's part.
But there has not been a statement. I've combed the wires every day looking for now the media have. I've gotten little jabs here and there from Reasoner last night and this kind of stuff, which we're putting real counter pressures on. We now have pretty good apparatus around the country working on this. But
well, we got to expect the media have such a vested interest in our defeat that they're going to jab us anytime they can.
They will take any possible opportunity. It's incredible.
Sure.
I saw today how they're saying, well, we didn't get 500,000 votes as we had hoped for in Indiana. Well, there isn't anybody who ever said we expected 500,000 votes in Indiana. Not a living soul. And we're going to end up with
We weren't even doing a damn thing in Indiana.
Well, not only that, but totally unopposed. No contest at all. And you'll still have over 400,000, 450,000 before
they're trying to knock that?
Well, that's just, a little press jab. That was UPI, and we called them on it at 10 this morning, and they've taken it off the wires. So,
sure.
But it's not a problem. I just mentioned it symbolically of how these bastards will. We'll seize.
We'll keep them going, and we'll. You know, one thing. We're all sad about it. I think that we had one break this weekend on the law and order issue. There's no better way for me to identify than to identify with my friend Hoover, isn't
exactly.
You know, and I was the guy that stood by him. You know, when the staff wanted to fire him last fall. And,
oh, Jesus! Thank God you didn't. I thought of that.
I did, and I stood by him through thick and thin, and I defended him and. Now, by gosh, I think we're in a very good position there. Don't you think so?
Yes, sir. I think I tell you what it does, Mr. President. It's never happy when anybody dies, but in terms of the politics of it, it gives us an opportunity to talk about the success that the FBI has had in the last 3 years under this administration, cutting down on organized crime.
I think one thing you can let your people leak out, as a matter of fact, you can give it to Scully and. And so they get on the television that Nixon was under very great pressure from some members of the White House staff. Just a little of that.
It's true.
To ask for his because Hoover was not coming under attack and knew that he was going to come under attack to ask his resignation.
Mm-hmm.
And the president refused to do so. He said that he was at. That he felt that Mr. Hoover could not, under any circumstances, go out forced to resign under fire, and that's why he took the strong position he did in his press conferences and made a big point of being publicly seen with him.
That's right.
That point. Get that across.
I remember the story you told me, Mr. President, one day in your office. I'll never forget it, in which you said the only mistake you made was letting someone talk you into dumping
Harold
Hershey.
Sure.
And, you would never do it with Hoover.
You can say that, too.
Yeah, well, I think this
have that get out, you know, that this is a good story to write, not just in a column, but I mean
TV.
TV and a wire.
Yeah, I think we can
give it to Scully. He'll know how to push it out. Or your other fellow.
Clausen. Yeah, well, I'll get one of them to do it.
So.
They're both...
it's a legitimate story.
They're both good at getting that out. And Clausen is, by the way, of all our former pressmen around here, he's the one who...
hawkish.
Well, he's the one who's saying, let's go after the press. And
yeah.
The memo that I got, which is on this subject, which we're working very hard at this week, he's old.
I knew it would be down your line, but...
Oh, hell.
I figured that it's about time for us to realize it. And...
Well, I think what we have to do is get him in some sophisticated ways.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't
use a blunt instrument.
No, I don't think the vice president, for example, can do it, but I think if he did it, it wouldn't have any impact, but I think we can start to...
Right.
We can start putting the screws on them in some ways that will hurt and will... just raise that cloud in the public's mind about their credibility. That's the important thing.
Go ahead.
I meant to mention to you when you asked about McGovern's bandwagon earlier that it's going very strong, but boy, are the Democrats cutting at him now, the establishment Democrats.
Yeah.
This 1948 Wallace...
Oh, I thought, well, those bastards.
Yeah.
When I took Helen Gahagan Douglas on that point, and they all said I was smearing her.
That's right.
She supported Wallace, you know.
Sure.
And that's a smear, but now they're all taking him on.
That's right. And, of course, they're playing up the fact that Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman are
government
supporters. Every place you see their names now.
Ah, crap. They are a dishonest bunch.
Well, it's kind of fun to watch it because they really are cutting hard. And McGovern has Kennedy now under intense pressure to support him. That's every one of the McGovern people are demanding Kennedy come out.
Are they?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's toying with it, although I'm sure would rather keep his keep himself above it. But the one thing is clear that they aren't going to be his stalking horses. That McGovern is he may have started that way and had that clear mandate at the outset, but he's on his own. He's not about to step aside for Kennedy,
right.
But it's interesting to watch.
Well, you keep up the good work, and I'll get together with your fellows after we get past the right to speech. I want to do it, but I want to, you know, when I've got a little more time.
No, that couldn't have been a lower priority item.
I want to do it, but I just, you know, that day I had the Hoover thing on.
Well, I knew it, and I should have taken it off the calendar.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, sir.